With me is ISD 166 School Superintendent Beth Schwartz, and she's jiggling in her chair because she's excited about what went on at the board meeting last night. So let's go right to data-driven instruction.
Thanks, Jay. And yes, I am so excited about the steps the school board took last evening to pass or to approve a proposal that will significantly impact learning at ISD 166. It's an aggressive proposal, which will begin almost immediately. I've already been in contact with the provider of some testing software that we're going to be using. And by the end of January, we will have that in place and begin testing students in grades 6 through 8, and also some select high school students, possibly several. And we use that data from this testing software to then look at how we can help these students perform better. And that includes both our students who struggle academically, so it is a way for us to identify where they're at so that we can help them catch up. It is a way to look at students in the middle to help them continue to improve. And it's a way to look at our students on the high end of the academic spectrum to push them harder so that they are not coasting. And I'm amazed, I'm awed, I'm humbled by the fact that the board has placed this faith in administration and in our teaching staff that we will very aggressively implement the proposal and provide our students with the avenue to truly improve. It's the first district I've been in where we have all of the pieces, and I'm so thrilled and so excited for our students and the opportunity that is now laid before us, and huge responsibility attached to it.
Now, we were talking earlier, and kind of the idea of this thing is what's called flexible grouping. Can you explain that?
Yeah, flexible grouping is the idea that every child has strengths, every child has areas that they can improve. And a child who might be really good, say, with algebra, may really struggle with geometry. They're very different math concepts. And so when the teacher is focused in on an algebra-related assignment, they may use that child as a leader and as giving that child extra exercises so they continue to strengthen their algebra skills. Perhaps even using them to help other students. Because when you teach something, you really begin to understand the intricacies of the subject. But then we go into a geometry unit, and now the child, we maybe need to make some adjustments, and instead of giving them high-end geometry material, we may be working on helping that student catch up to an average geometry level. And now that child is perhaps working in a group, either one, if they're very low, of similar other kids, maybe two or three kids that really struggle in geometry, and the teacher has specific assignments geared down to their level to help them improve their geometry skills. Or perhaps they're in a what's called a vertical group, where you maybe have a child with lower geometry ability, mid geometry ability, and high geometry ability, and they're talking about the same problem but in different aspects. So it's the idea that children move from group to group, and then as a child's skills develop through the year, they're not necessarily in the same cooperative group all year long. They switch and they move out of groups based on their ability and how they're doing. It's very exciting.
But they stay in the same
classroom.
They're
yep.
not in a separate location like
Correct.
It used to be at times. So, in other words, these are goals that are being set for the students. Pretty individual. It sounds close to individual instruction, I guess, as you can get. But you also set these goals with their parents.
Yeah, one of the real exciting things and one of the things that we're hearing from the community is parents want to be involved in their children's education, and that that is welcomed at ISD 166. It is encouraged, and we're trying to get that word out there. And one of the things you can do with NWAM Measures of Academic Progress is that you can engage parents in the goal-setting conversation. So let's say that a child in the fall scores, say, a 200 on the NWA exam, and the average growth nationwide is maybe from a 200 to, say, a 210. You can talk to the parents at a conference and say, you know, where do you think your child is? Are they, you know, do you think they should be able to meet the average growth? And parents says, well, yeah, my child's a pretty solid student. I think they should at least be able to make the average growth. So, yeah, well, let's set a goal of 210. Perhaps the child really struggles with math, and you've known that this child has really struggled. Maybe, realistically, as a parent and as a child, you say, you know what? We're going to start to catch up to that norm. 210's probably a little bit much. We don't want to frustrate you. Let's aim for a 208. And then a child who maybe has exceptional math skills, you maybe say, you know what? We expect that you will exceed the national average in growth, and we want to see you get a 212.
So, in other words, everybody involved in the education, the student, the parent, and the teacher, all have an idea where these goals are, so there's no big surprise at report card time.
That's the hope.
Okay.
They still have to turn in their work and do their assignments and all of that.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about this in the future. Yep. But I, before I let you go, I want to also talk about one other thing that was brought up at the board meeting, and that's QCOMP. That's turned into kind of a buzzword. So what is it, and what are we going to do?
QCOMP is quality compensation. And since I've been here, I've been talking with staff on how can we bring QCOMP dollars into our district. In this area of Minnesota, this area being the Arrowhead, including the Range, QCOMP has been relatively controversial. And staffs across the Range have maybe been a little bit resistant in the sense that they're nervous about it, leery about it. Is it merit pay? You know, what exactly is it? And I'm so thrilled that our staff, you know, the trust is beginning to develop. And we have two teachers that have stepped forward and are committed to doing a thorough kind of analysis on QCOMP, and they will be bringing that to our teachers union in the spring. And then if after all those discussions we are at a point where we're ready to pursue it, we will be putting a committee together and then coming up with a QCOMP plan, which would be presented to MDE, and that group would include board members, administration, and teachers. Then we'll go from there. But the exciting piece for me is that we really have a plan in place as to how we're going to investigate it, and hopefully QCOMP will be in the ISD 166 district within the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a slow process, but the exciting piece is that we're moving towards it.
Now, I think we should mention, so that people don't think that all of this just breezed through last night, how long was the board meeting?
We started technically at 5:15 with 15 minutes prior to the board for community discussion, and we left at about 10:35 last night. It was an intensive, long, but looking back, just exciting board meeting.
Well, it sounds good, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the future. We've been talking with ISD 166 Superintendent Beth Schwartz. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you.